23. And we want to read from verse number 32. Luke chapter 23 and verse 32. And there were also two other malefactors, criminals, led with Jesus to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots, and the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But as for this man, he hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness, that is, about noontime, when the sun was at its highest. There was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, that is, until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. And God will bless this amazing reading of his word this evening. Says Luke, and when they were come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him. You know, I say tonight without fear of contradiction that the most important place on this planet is this place that we are reading about this evening, the place called Calvary, the place where the Son of God was crucified, the place where man's wickedness in all its fullness was demonstrated, and what they did to Christ there before the cross and at the cross. Not only the place where man's wickedness was manifested, but wonder of wonders, the place where the love of God was manifested. For there as his Son hung upon the cross, God was demonstrating to the world his own love in the suffering and in the death of his Son. The love of God manifested at that amazing place. But not only that, the righteousness of God was manifested there. The judgment of God upon his own Son. And the Bible tells us that from noon until 3 o'clock, there was a great darkness over all the earth. And the Lord Jesus, coming out of that darkness, said, my God, why didst thou forsake me? The Son of God was abandoned there in these hours of darkness. Abandoned on account of my sin and your sin. And so the Savior there, he suffered, not only at the hands of men, but he suffered under the judgment of a righteous and a holy God. And he remained on the cross until he could say, it is finished. And having fulfilled the scriptures, he He bowed his head and he voluntarily went into death. He dismissed his spirit and Christ died under the judgment of God. He died on account of our sins. But not only is this place the place where man's wickedness is seen in all its fullness, and the place where the love of God is manifested, and the place where the righteous judgment of God was seen, but you know, it's a place where the power of God was demonstrated. For in that place, John tells us, there was a garden, and in that garden there was a tomb, and into that tomb they laid the lifeless body of the Christ of God. And 3 days later, God raised him from amongst the dead. I tell you, what a demonstration of power when God raised his son from the dead. So it's a wonderful place, the place called Calvary. But you know, tonight, I'm going to suggest that it's a place where we see the grace of God manifested in such a wonderful way. That is, in the salvation of this dying thief, a robber that we've been reading about tonight. And I just want to focus your attention for a few minutes on the salvation of this robber, this man who was crucified alongside the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to look at it very simply. And the first thing I want to bring before you is the fact that at 9 o'clock in the morning, when they crucified the Lord Jesus and these two robbers, these common criminals alongside him, at 9 o'clock they lifted up the 3 crosses and they gave Christ the center cross. You know, that was reserved for the worst of the criminals. That's where Barabbas should have been, on that center cross. And that's where they put Christ, on the center cross. And on either side of him there was one of these malefactors impaled by their hands and feet. And so Christ, at 9 o'clock in the morning, Christ divided these men physically. But then, before noontime, he not only divided them physically, but before noontime, he had divided them spiritually. For one of them got gloriously saved. And the other chose the path of unbelief, and Christ separated these men spiritually. One was saved and the other remained in his sin. But you know, when they broke the legs of these thieves at 6 o'clock at night, Christ was already hanging for 3 hours dead upon the cross. And when they came to hasten their death and broke their legs, and these men went out into eternity, Christ not only separated them physically and spiritually, but he separated them eternally. He separated them forever. For that repentant thief, the moment he breathed his last, he departed to be with Christ in paradise. Now, wonderful. Said the Lord Jesus, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And that man's been up there for 2,000 years now in paradise, enjoying the bliss of heaven and the company of Christ. But what about the other man? When he breathed his last, sadly, he went down into hell. And that's where he is now, as I'm speaking to you. That man's there in hell. He's been there for 2,000 years. No relief. 2,000 years of torment. 2,000 years of regret. And he's maybe saying tonight, if only I had repented like my fellow criminal and trusted Christ, if only. I tell you this, hell is full of regrets tonight. It's full of regrets. People who once sat like this under the gospel and they never believed it. And now sadly they're saying, if only I had believed. And they're lost forever. You know, it was a solemn moment when they lifted up these 3 crosses and Christ divided these 2 men. You see, at 9 o'clock, when the crucifixion began, not only were the crowd mocking Christ, and railing against him. But these two criminals, they were also mocking Christ. And they were saying to the crowd, you know, if you're the Christ, save yourself. Save yourself and us. And so both these thieves were reviling. Both these thieves were in harmony with the crowd that surrounded that cross that day and mocked the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. But you know, suddenly this man went quiet. I don't know how long he went quiet. But this man went quiet. And the other fellow continued to rail against Christ. And then suddenly this man spoke out. And he shouted across to his fellow in front of everyone. He wasn't ashamed. He wasn't afraid. A wonderful change has happened to this man. This man who was railing against Christ, this man who was mocking Christ, a sudden change came over him. He's had a complete change of mind. And he says to his fellow, do you not fear God, man? Seeing we are in the same condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But as for this man, this man, he hath not done one thing out of place. What a wonderful testimony. This man is testifying not just to the innocence of Christ, but the holiness of Christ. Oh, I tell you, this was a wonderful transformation that's come over this man. And you know, you see, dear friend, if you're ever going to come into the blessing of salvation like this man did, you're going to have to have a change of mind as well. You see, the Bible, God in the Bible, Paul preaching in Athens, he says this, God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. To repent. What does that mean? It means to have a complete change of mind towards God about your sins. It means to recognize that you're wrong and God is right. And you're prepared to turn from yourself and your sinful ways and to turn to God, desiring to go his way. That's true repentance. You see, all men everywhere need to repent because all men everywhere have sinned. Tell me, dear friend, have you repented? Have you had a change of mind towards God about your sins? Do your sins trouble you? Does it not concern you that you're a sinner? And that your sins come between you and God? And your sins are an offence to God? And God, who is righteous, must punish you for your sins. If you remain in your sins and you choose the path of unbelief, you will eventually fall into the hands of an angry God. It's a dreadful thing to have to meet God as your judge. But friend, that's the consequences of a man or a woman or a young person who hears the gospel and they refuse to believe it, they refuse to repent, they refuse to turn from their sin and themselves and to turn to Christ. Ah, but this dying thief, he repented. He had a change of mind, you see. And not only that, he openly confessed with his mouth, Jesus is Lord. That's remarkable. This man's been enlightened. You know, I wonder if what he was hearing, what they were saying in mockery about Jesus being the Christ and being the King of Israel and being the Son of God. I tell you, the Spirit of God used what men were saying in mockery, because what they were saying in mockery about Christ was absolutely true about him. And you know, this man, he turns to the Lord and he says, Lord, Lord, Lord. He's acknowledging this man hanging on a center cross, crowned with thorns. He's acknowledging him as Lord. Lord, tell me, do you acknowledge him as Lord? You see, if you're ever going to get saved, you're going to have to come to understand who Jesus of Nazareth is. That he's more than just a perfect man. He was a man who's not done one thing out of this. But you're going to have to come to understand that Jesus of Nazareth is none other than the very Christ of God, the very King of Israel, the very Son of God. And you're going to have to acknowledge that and confess that. You see, the Bible says this, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Tell me, friend, have you ever willingly, openly, publicly declared Jesus as Lord? Well, I did that as soon as I got saved. I couldn't wait to get back among my old companions the next day in university to tell them that I got saved, become a Christian, and I was finished with the old ways. And you know, I couldn't wait for the night when I was going to get baptized as a believer. Because when I got baptized, I was not only identifying myself with Christ and his death and burial and resurrection, but I was confessing openly that he is my Lord. He is Lord. If you confess him as Lord from your heart, or are you ashamed of Jesus? You know, this man confessed him as Lord. Not only that, but he acknowledged him as being the King. He says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He's speaking to the Lord Jesus, crowned with thorns, nailed by his hands and feet. And this man's saying, you know, I believe you're the King. And I believe that someday you're going to come again and establish your kingdom here on earth. And in that day of glory, he's saying, Lord, remember me. Remember me. You see, this man not only believed that Jesus Christ was the King and that someday he was going to establish his kingdom here on earth, but he believed that Jesus would rise again from amongst the dead. Tell you, this man is incredible. The truth that he's grasped from such a slot. You say, how do you know that, Dan? Well, if he's going to come again, if he's going to die on this cross as he did, and he's going to come again, it means he's firstly going to have to rise from amongst the dead as he did 3 days later, and 40 days later ascended bodily to heaven where he is tonight, a risen living Christ. And dear friend, there's coming a day when Jesus Christ is going to rise up from his throne. And with a glorified church, he's going to come out of heaven. And he's coming with the armies of heaven. Revelation 19 tells us about that. If you're interested, go home and read Revelation 19. And you'll read about the second coming of Christ. He's coming in power and in glory. And he's coming to destroy the enemies of God. He'll annihilate in a moment the armies of this world, filling the land of Israel. And in a moment, just with the breath of his mouth, he'll destroy them. In a moment, dear friend, he's coming back. He's coming back to establish his kingdom here on earth. Are you going to be in that kingdom? Do you want to be part of that glorious kingdom? I tell you this, you'll have to get saved. You have to be born again. Because if you're not born again, you'll never see nor enter into the kingdom of God. You must be born again. Dear friend, are you born again? I'm not asking you if you've been christened or baptized. I'm asking you, have you been born again? Born of God? Born of the Spirit of God? If you're not born again, you'll never see nor enter that kingdom. He's coming back again, dear friend. And this man, he believed it with all his heart. And he said, Lord, remember me in that day. Don't forget me. Remember me when you come in your glory. Remember me. And what did the Lord say to this man? Oh, I tell you, what a pillow. What a pillow the Lord gave him to lay his weary head on to die. This wonderful promise, he says, I say unto thee today, you will be with me in paradise. Today you'll be with me in paradise. How wonderful. Walking in the very gardens of God, the very paradise of God. This man could hardly believe his ears. A poor sinner like me, and yet he's promised that I'm going to be with him. When I die in a few hours' time, I'm going to go straight to paradise. And he believed it. And that man took his last breath in agony upon the cross. You know, one moment he was in the body, and the next moment his soul and spirit was with Christ, and Christ was waiting for him in paradise to welcome him. Oh, I tell you, what a glorious moment when this man went from the cross in all its agony, in all its shame. He went from the cross and there he went right into paradise. How wonderful. Would you like to be in paradise? Eh? Would you like to be sure of heaven? Well, you have to do what this man did. You have to turn from your sin, put your faith in the Lord Jesus. Religion can't do it for you, dear friend. I don't care what your religion is. Religion can't do this for you. It is only Jesus Christ. Friend, are you prepared to do what this man did? Unashamedly, to acknowledge Jesus as Lord, as the King, the one destined to reign, and to turn from yourself and your sin and to put your faith in him. And the moment you do so, you're as sure of heaven as though you're already there already. It's a wonderful thing to have that assurance. You have that assurance. If you were to die now, where would you be? And you see, when this man repented and turned to Christ and was wonderfully saved, you know, Christ, in a moment, he divided these two men that were hanging alongside him. He divided them physically, but he divided them spiritually. For one was saved and the other was lost. You see this tent here tonight. Now, I don't know everyone that's here tonight. I don't know you all. But this tent is divided. Not that passage up the centre, no. It's divided into those that are saved and those that are lost. Tell me, which side of the divide are you on? Which side of the cross are you on? Are you amongst the saved tonight? Or are you still among the lost? See, Christ is a great divider. But not only that, when that thief breathed out his last, both these thieves died round about the same moment of time. You know, Christ divided them forever. As I've said, one went into paradise and the other went into hell. That's a dreadful thing. God doesn't want you to be in hell. God wants you to be in heaven. God has no pleasure in seeing a soul go down into hell. God wants you to be saved and to enjoy the eternal bliss of heaven. But you have to make the choice, like this dying thief did. Are you prepared tonight to choose Christ, are you prepared tonight to acknowledge that you're as guilty as what the thief was on the cross, that you're a sinner? And are you prepared to turn from your sin and to put your faith in Jesus Christ? Friend, if you've never done this before, you can do it now. This very moment, you can settle the matter. There's no unwillingness on the part of God. I tell you this, if you're not saved and you've been coming to hear the gospel again and again and again and again, I tell you this, the unwillingness is on your part. It's not on the part of God. So I trust tonight that each one in this tent, if never before, will make that choice and put your faith in Christ. And the moment you do so, you're as sure of heaven as though you're already there.